My guest today is the musician and my longtime friend Harry Hall. In 2007, I recorded some 13 instrumental tracks with him, where he played for me inspiring alto, soprano and tenor saxes, as well as flute and clarinet. Harry, thank you for coming by. Tell me where and when you did learn and perfected all those instruments.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Dimitri. It's a pleasure to join with you in a Bulgarian radio show. Actually, the clarinet was the first instrument that I began playing at the age of 8 years old.
That's an early age, yeah.
And actually, I began to play in the high school band at the age of 10, many years before I was in high school. And then later, I always wanted to play the saxophone, but the clarinet is the best instrument to start on to play the saxophones or other woodwinds because it's the most difficult and the most challenging, but it's the pathway that leads to the flute and the saxophones particularly. I began playing the tenor saxophone with my own band, which I formed when I was about 14 years old. As a matter of fact, we played on live television there, such as it was in those days. And then when I eventually went to New York, I had already played the alto saxophone, but I was hired as a lead saxophone player for many shows and in recording sessions in New York, playing the alto saxophone. That's the top voice in a big band or an orchestra. And actually, I didn't begin playing the flute or even own one until I was in the first U.S. Air Force band during the Vietnam War in New York. And I began playing the flute and got a flute. And my teachers were not very many. Actually, the clarinet I learned to play pretty much by myself with the help of the high school band director.
I see.
And the saxophone with Al McCoy, the best saxophone player in the mountains where I grew up. And then the other instruments I had various people help me with, but later on.
I see. No matter how long it took for you, obviously you started very young, but you know what you're doing, and that obviously sounds great. That's probably the reason you've been a professional musician in Los Angeles and New York for many years afterwards. Right now, let me ask you just the following question. Who were the people that have influenced you mostly in the music business by that time?
Well, on the clarinet, of course, Benny Goodman, Artie Shaw.
Sure.
And Buddy DeFranco were probably the three finest clarinet players from the swing era. The saxophone, I have many influences. Stan Getz, John Coltrane on the tenor saxophone, primarily those two, I suppose. And on the alto saxophone, Cannonball Adderley, Paul Desmond of the Dave Brubeck Quartet, and many others.
Well,
flute players, Herbie Mann, of course. Who comes to mind first?
Yeah. Well, you just mentioned the best names in the music business, obviously. And if they were your teachers, that's why you're one of the best students. Let me ask you the following. You've been witness and participant in the 70s in that energetic atmosphere of the... Can you share something about how you felt, how the years and the surroundings and the people that you work with helped you become what you are in the music business?
Well, I don't know about the business, but that period of the 70s was a revolutionary period here in America. Because of all of the conflict of the Vietnam War, social changes Inside and Out, which actually pervaded the world stage. And it was very exciting because the music then was sincere, it was deep, it had message, content, and emotion, and excitement, almost on a level of danger. And
I see. What you're saying, the political atmosphere actually influenced a lot of the musicians, and that's why we feel the atmosphere with somewhere with pain, somewhere with perfection, but obviously one of the reasons was also it. And let me ask you also the following question. In Los Angeles, you also met and played with one of the Bulgarian best-known jazz musicians, who is called Milcho Leviev. He's very famous in Bulgaria, obviously. Can you share with us your experience with him?
Milcho and I first met as scholarship students for the ASCAP, American Society of Composers and Publishers, and a film scoring class at UCLA.
No, oh, that's interesting.
Conducted by Eddie Lawrence Manson, who was the president of the Society of Music Arrangers for many years. And we were fortunate enough to study with, personally, Henry Mancini, Johnny Mandel, Arthur Scharf, and some of the greatest composers that composed live television music in the earlier years.
Well, that's something amazing.
And I, after that, played together. As a matter of fact, Milcho is a great musician, and I hired him to play with my band whenever I could.
Well, that's a story that probably nobody knows, but it's interesting to know. We are very excited always in Bulgaria when he visits and plays his own show, and that's interesting who he has been playing with, and obviously you and are one of the people he worked with. Let me ask you the following question. Obviously, you're pretty much and mostly 99% in jazz music, but obviously on the site you have played with a lot of famous names that the Bulgarian radio listeners would know. Names like Barbara Streisand, Aretha Franklin, Chaka Khan, Stevie Wonder, Paul Anka, Liberace. Tell me something about your experience with those pop celebrities, so to call.
Most of them were very easy actually to work with because their music was free-flowing. They were professionals throughout, and there wasn't a lot of ego trips or, you know, show business hoopla got in the way of the presentation of the shows that I played with these people in New York.
Well, that's good to know that they're working. They're not divas and inaccessible. They're just real down-to-earth people. Let me ask you the following question. You shared with me that you've played in Japan as well. How did the Japanese accept the jazz music?
The Japanese are remarkably amazing in as much as they can get very involved in any art form, regardless of where it originates. I was fortunate enough to play with some of the finest jazz musicians in Japan. As a matter of fact, I lived there for quite some time, and in Osaka, which is the heart and soul of Japan. They call it Kinki Japan, which means heart and soul center of. It's a big city, like New York, but bigger, but performs pretty much the same function. And I was honored to have the Osaka Jazz Lovers Association established in my name under the auspices of Mitsuru Nishiyama, a very famous bass player there, probably the most famous, who's played with Duke Ellington, Miles Davis. When people would go to Japan to play, they'd say, well, we don't necessarily have to take a bass player because Nishiyama's over there.
Well, that's a great reward to mingle with great musicians over there, also jazz lovers. And let me ask you something about what's happening, let's say, today compared to the 70s. What is the state of the popular music in the United States today? What is your opinion?
Well, today it's more of a large production show. Let's say, compare it to opera as compared to symphonic music of Europe, whereas the show, the grandeur, the choreography, the presentation, the visual effects generally are deeper and more profound than the music content itself. So it's more or less programmed for large television audiences and a lot of hoopla.
Yes, I see. And probably my next question is very much related to what you're just talking. Do you think that the contests such as American Idol, Voice, and X Factor are good way of finding new talents compared with before, let's say?
Only in as much as most of these people are actually amateurs, and they, instead of having worked their way up through the ranks by performing constantly and reaching the top that way, they are singled out and, I would say, I hate to use this term, but used by big business and then actually discarded in public as if they weren't up to the standards of the people who win, which is really unfair to the artists, because many of these people could be tremendous professionals if they didn't have their 30 seconds of fame and then were thrown away.
Yes, I see your point. Probably the same is happening in Bulgaria too, because I see people winning one of those contests and a week later nobody knows them and they still know the judges, and it seems more competition and more hoopla about the judges than the performers. In any event, let me
well put, Dimitri.
Yeah, well put. Well, let me ask you about the following. I know that you're producing your own material. Once you produce and release, would you mind that we play some for the radio listeners? I'm talking about our next meeting.
Uh-huh. Well, I'd be delighted, actually, if you played some things from my first recording with the Classic Jazz Quartet in Los Angeles. Was recorded in the 70s. They're all, I didn't write these, they're not my original compositions, but they're standards, and perhaps you could play the Duke Ellington medley.
Yes, we're going to choose a couple of those at the end of the conversation. We're going to play them as a final of our conversation. And right now, dear friends, we were talking with the musician and my longtime friend Harry Hall. He shared with us some memories of his lifetime experience in the world of jazz and popular music in the States and abroad. Harry, I'd like to wish you to continue perfecting your musical skills, to be creative and healthy so that you are able to play for the people for many years to come. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you, Dimitri, because of people like you, those of us who didn't come up through the ranks of the big, splendorific talent contests are allowed to proliferate on into the future. And I hope that as soon as some of my original material, which I'm producing now, is released, that you will be one of the first people to play it for your audience in Bulgaria.
Well, that would be my pleasure. And next time, we're definitely going to play your music. Thank you again for your time, Harry.
Thank you, sir.